Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
It's me,
Jalario.
Here we go.
Nice, they're scrubbing that.
It's me, Mario.
Oh, woo-hoo! My God, Mario. Welcome back for the third week of Jalario.
Okie dokie.
And welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, where we continue to
support. We continue to support Mario in all his endeavors.
And we are the video game podcast
for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. You're Joel.
You're Jackson.
Yes.
And today we're joined by very special guest, Sleepy Nice.
It's so nice to be here with my good friend Mario and my even better friends, the Thumb Cramps boys.
Why are they better friends than a me, a Mario?
Oh, you know,
it's
you're
me,
right.
A Mario.
You're so right, Mario. You're my best friend.
That's all right. Everybody's the best. You play a Mario game, I'm your best friend.
Well, Mario, we'll
get... Christ's sake.
Mario, I don't know if you can use the Vile Lord's name in vain like that.
I gotta send out an email this morning to Mr. Nintendo. I said, hey, I'm gonna blaspheme.
Did you get okay? A reply?
Not yet. So, we will see. That seems really risky, Mario.
Yeah, what if you get... I guess they can't fire Mario.
Yeah, what are they gonna
Mario?
Do? Super Luigi Brothers?
Well, they did
Super
do
Luigi
that.
Nothing?
It would really send a message to the other Nintendo mascots, like, don't, none of you are safe. Link, you better stay in line.
We can fire Mario, we can fire... Yeah. How safe do you think you are, Toad? No one would notice you were gone if we got rid of you. Didn't Peach have, like, a little guy? Don't think so. Fair enough.
Anyway, today we're looking at, and Mario, you're in this one.
Huh.
Super Mario Brothers... New Super Mario Brothers U.
Oh, yeah.
For the deluxe, because it's for the Nintendo Switch and other games.
Oh, hell yeah. Because you reviewed for the first week of July Rio the
Super Mario Brothers World.
Yes, Cat Brothers.
Yeah. So the. The other Wii U Mario game. So I've now played both. And Jackson and Sleepy Nice, one thing we've done a lot on this podcast is talk mad shit some reason about the new Super Mario Brothers games.
Well, I'm not a big fan of them either, so I'm here for the talking shit, honestly.
Well, I was confused because I thought I'd played this quite a lot prior to purchasing it on the Switch and playing it again. And I remember it being slippery and like a game for babies.
Yeah.
New Super Mario Bros. U for the Switch is so hard.
It's not a game for babies?
The levels get so complicated so quickly.
I've played this game with a baby.
So, with Baby Mario.
Baby Mario. No, when it first came out for the Wii U, I was at a friend's house, and he'd bought it for his little sister.
Yeah.
Who was like 6, and she was great at it.
It's... So there's like a couple of fail safes in it so that it's... Basically... The level design is hard, but it gives you a lot of lives and coins.
Oh, okay.
So you die heaps, but you don't game over very often.
It's also got that thing where, oh, maybe this is only Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, but where you die, you go in a bubble?
No, you die, but then when you respawn, you're in a bubble.
Oh, okay. Yeah, which doesn't happen in Tropical Freeze. They're in barrels, but same difference.
Yeah.
A barrel's just a wooden bubble, dude.
And you can go into a bubble if you're playing two-player, because you both have to be on the same screen.
Yeah.
If the one player gets too far ahead, you turn into a bubble. But yeah, like, I'm halfway through this game, and I thought I was almost at the end because I was like, these levels are getting tricky.
Really? What are they doing to ramp up the difficulty?
Just like a lot, and I know that this is a pretty insane take, I know, yeah. But they're making the jumps hard.
What?
The jumps are getting hard, and I don't know if it's gotten harder for me because I just played Super Mario. All the game
Cat Mario.
Names have
Cat
the
Mario.
Same name.
Just say Cat Mario.
They've got so many qualifiers as well. Like, new Super World Deluxe for Wii U for Switch.
3D World, I just played, and it controls a little bit differently. So I don't know if I'm just like on a different wavelength to the game, but I have put in like 5 hours.
You'd think you'd have figured it out by now.
Yeah. And Mario, I'm sorry to say that I haven't been playing as you. I've been playing as your brother Luigi.
Isn't that a sack of shit?
Can you say shit, Mario?
Yeah. Mario's on one today.
I don't know what's going on.
He's angry. We should get Luigi in here, see what he's got to say.
But yeah, like, so I thought I had played this a bunch on the Wii U, but I don't think I have, because a lot of this, I think I might have only played, like, the first world.
I get the vibe that with all of the new Super Mario Brothers games, I've only played the first two worlds because I can remember them, like, they're, like, burned into my brain.
Yeah.
And what I imagine, maybe this is the case, I don't know, is that those first two worlds are, like, fine, but not super interesting, and so it's pretty easy to fall off, but maybe if you stick with it.
Yeah, I recently did a level that was based on Starry Night, the Picasso painting.
Whoa, that's cool. That's crazy.
And
that level has a very strange secret exit as well, from memory.
Yeah,
does
it? Does.
What's the secret exit?
I found it, but I can't remember, because I've just left an area called Soda Jungle.
Oh, yeah.
And Soda Jungle is, there's a lot of booze in it and a lot of tricky levels that have two exits.
You don't often see a ghost in a jungle, hey.
Yeah.
Well, there's like
a lot. There's a lot of poison in this jungle, too. Yeah.
When you said booze, I thought you were saying, like, alcoholic beverages. I really don't remember the beer.
A lot of booze. Well, it's my sincere belief Mario can have one red wine.
Yeah, with dinner. Yeah,
with dinner, Mario can have one red wine.
That's why he looks so good, why he stayed so young looking for so long.
Exactly.
It's given him that perfect figure.
Yeah, exactly. Mario's a youthful guy.
Soda Jungle, there was like two levels in a row that had a secret exit, and I found the secret exit before the normal exit, so it immediately took me to a really hard level bonus. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
What's the secret exit from Starry Starry Night? What's the weird one?
I just played through that game with my girlfriend. She's like not played many of the classic Mario games or really that many games at all in general. So I was just trying to find stuff that we could play like two player that would sort of give her like a broad scope of gaming landscape. And we played through that level, and it took, I think I had to look it up eventually, because I don't think, if you get to their regular exit, I don't think it takes you to the next level.
Yeah, it doesn't unlock a level, yeah.
So you have to get the secret exit, and we were doing it for like 20 minutes. I think you have to go to the end and then go back, and the background changes, and then like a new thing is revealed. It's it's way more convoluted than any Mario level should possibly be.
And Mario levels in this game have that a lot. Like, there's points where in a 2D Mario side scroller, you would never associate getting into a screen and being like, where do I go?
Traditionally,
you start left, you go right.
And when you're done going right, the level's over.
Yeah, but like with this, so there's a level just before the Starry Night level called Which Way Mansion, I think it's called, which is a haunted boo house.
Oh, yeah.
And in the first screen, it's just like five doors, and each of those doors leads to a different puzzly kind of room. And when you get to the end, there is a finish to the level, but it doesn't unlock anything.
Okay.
And then there's a hidden secret, which is you have to ride an elevator through a false roof.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's too much.
And yeah, if you hit the wrong part, you get crushed alive because part of the roof is solid.
So you gotta like, figure your, what are the bosses like?
Oh, the bosses are very easy.
Okay. Bowser's dumb kids or whatever.
Yeah, and it's just the same shit as always, which is just jump on their head.
Yeah.
There was a Bowser Jr. fight I did that was underwater where I had to make his missiles hit him.
Okay. But you know, I feel like Mario games, maybe there's games I'm not thinking of, but you're not really playing them for the bosses, right?
No, not really.
It's not really been like a Mario boss where you're like, whoa, a fun boss that was.
Yeah, even the best games in the series, like across the 3D ones as well, the bosses aren't like... Like the Bowser fight in Super Mario 64 is iconic, but I wouldn't say it's like fun. The reason you're playing the game.
No. And Odyssey. Yeah, you go on.
Oh, I was just going to say my favorite Mario boss fight gimmick is when Kamek comes along and just turns a regular enemy very big. Yeah. And you have to deal with the size
that
of it rather than.
That is great. Yeah. And then part of dealing with the boss is being like, how do I kill it normally? I just got to do that big too. Yeah. That is yeah. fun.
But do
that
it big.
Yeah. Well, Kamek does come into every boss fight, but they just mess up the arena. So
okay.
There's a lot going on. But yeah, there's a lot of levels that have. So the boss level I'm at the moment has like lava waves and they come up through the level.
Yeah.
And if you touched it, it's an instant death. Uh-oh. It doesn't make you small. It makes you dead. It's the lava that makes you die.
No, I hate the lava.
So
makes
yeah,
you
if you mess up a jump, dead.
Yeah, yeah.
If you time something wrong, dead. I have been playing through this with like anywhere between 10 and 20 lives at all times, but yeah. I'm still dying heaps.
Would you? So you said at the beginning of this, we'd been talking mad shit about yeah. this game. You reckon that was unwarranted?
Yeah. It's not as floaty as I remember. It's definitely not as good as 3D World.
Yeah.
But it is very fun and way tighter than I remember it being.
Yeah. I think 3D World is like one of the best modern platform actually prefer 3D Land in a lot of ways, but I think that series, that like micro series of two games, it's
yeah.
not only some of the best Mario games but just some of the best platformers
yeah.
in a while.
Yeah. Well yeah. I will say that playing this though has made me extra excited for Super Mario Brothers Wonder, because you can kind of see some of the stuff they're gonna do
yeah
in that game in this game, because the game is weirder than I remember it being too. Like I said, there was a level that's just based on the Starry Night
thing. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And
can you also confirm my vague memory that this game does the thing that I hate in Mario games, where the levels don't actually have anything to do with the world? Like, it'll be a desert world, but then it'll just be like a random grass level in the middle of it? Or am I?
No, this one doesn't Mario have game? That. Occasionally, okay. there'll be levels that transition. So, like, the first part of the level will match the theme, and then you'll go underwater randomly or something mm-hmm. like that.
Oh, yeah. That's all right, though.
But, yeah, there's none that are just like, you press start on the level and you're like, where the hell am
this
I?
This has got nothing
yeah.
to do with dry bones or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, the Soda Jungle, for instance, the first half of it is like a nice jungly area, and then you go into like a poison swamp within the yeah. same world. And once I've hit the poison swamp stuff, yeah, almost all the levels have had like poison at the bottom, so if you touch it, you die. It's the poison that makes you die.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of booze and stuff like that, and that's been consistent throughout the levels. I can't think of any that are just like randomly roll
you know
of the dice.
So good at making their levels cohesive is Donkey Kong Country Tropical
oh,
Freeze.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong Country
that
Tropical
game is
Freeze
crazy.
Should be
canonized. This is, should yes. be Saint Donkey Kong Country Tropical.
It absolutely should.
Yeah, like, I think that's like the cool thing about the Switch, which is something you guys have probably talked about a lot, is like a lot of those Wii U games that were really, really good that nobody played because it was on the
yeah.
Wii U.
Yeah.
And like Tropical Freeze is one of them. I think I think I've got my copy of it behind me. I loved that game when it came out.
Absolutely.
And nobody believed me that it was good.
It's so good. It's also the only game that Jackson and I have ever played co-op where we had to stop playing because we got too mad with each other.
We're not allowed wow. to play it. It's banned in this household.
We kept putting the monkeys God. In the hole.
Because you gave us both control over one rhino, and that's a mistake. Because we both want different things.
Yeah.
The rhino.
One but of us jumps early, one of us jumps late, which unfortunately doesn't even out to perfect. It,
no,
evens,
it evens
out to Rhino going in the hole.
In the middle of the hole and dropping. And then you blame the other person. Because you know if you'd done it right, you would have made it across.
Yeah, if this was one person, it'd be easy.
Okay, we need to stop talking about this game as well. Like, not only are you not allowed to play it together, you're not allowed to talk about it while you're in the same room.
Minecarts are the same control. Making the minecart go in the hole
you
all the
don't
time.
You jump at the right time.
You don't jump at the right time. But yeah, like New Super Mario Brothers U, I've had a really good time with it, and it's hard. It like I'm actually having to like I'm not just like breezing through it, because like 3D World, whilst really really good, didn't test me that much.
Okay.
And yeah, I don't know. This one's making me think and making me jump good and making me make sure that like there's just no way to like you make the wrong move, you die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great.
And
it's got those fairies in those jars as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's in 3D World. Yeah, that's 3D World in this one.
Oh, 3D World. Oh, yeah. Man, I'm getting them mixed up.
There's too many Mario games. Settle
yeah.
down.
Yeah, 3D World. 3D World, you're saving the fairies in the jars. And in This one, you're just destroying castles, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Just wrecking Bowser's children.
Fighting his kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Kicking the shit out of his children. But yeah, like, four thumbs.
That's great. That's, I mean, it makes me want to go back and try it again.
Like, I think you will like it more than you remember. The actually, no, you'll hate it because there's a difficulty spike.
That's true. That's not for me.
So, Sleepy, this has been heavily discussed on Thumb Cramps, especially of recent. But just to fill you in, Jackson doesn't like games that have a difficulty spike.
Sure.
If the first world is very easy and then it gets hard, Jackson stops playing because it should be a game that's for babies. So, therefore...
You gotta start hard and get impossible. That's what I want out of a game.
So what do you think about like a slow difficulty climb? Is it only if it's like suddenly way harder that it's a problem?
Okay. If it's really gradual, that's okay. You can't just dump it on me halfway through the game.
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
I like my games to get harder.
Yeah.
But I do feel like it's very cheap in a game for it to suddenly expect you to be operating on a whole different way than what you've been operating on up until that point.
Jackson has latched himself onto your very sensible decision. His is not that.
In between
worlds 2 and 3 in Mario, world 3 is just significantly harder. Not like 3 times as difficult, just like, this has gone up a level. Jackson's like,
I'm out. It's got to be more gradual than that.
Yeah.
You have to not notice.
You've made a mistake. You've made a bad game.
It's infuriating.
Are you 100%ers with these Mario games? Like, do you like to get the 3 extra coins and the little, all of that stuff, or not worry about it?
I find it satisfying when I do it, but I'm not replaying level. Like, I'm not choosing to not replay. I'm not choosing to continue.
What are you trying to say today?
Mario, you want to take this one?
If I finish a level and I only got like 2 of the coins, I'm not restarting that level to get the 3rd. I'll just move on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if I see a coin, I'm like, I want that coin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a really horrible tendency with a lot of these games, especially when I'm playing them by myself, because like, I know that I'm not going to be challenged by a Mario game because I've been playing them since literally I was 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I know how these games go. But, so if I start a new one, I try and do it the first time I play through a level. I try and get all 3 coins. I'm looking around for them. And then the moment I can't find one, I just stop playing the game and don't continue. Like, it's a very horrible habit that I have.
That's got to be so annoying. So many games you've just not finished because you missed 1 coin.
I mean, just the Mario ones. And it's no big deal to not finish a modern Mario game. Like,
that is true. That is true.
You're not being left out of gamer chats.
Yeah.
Kicked out of group chats. Only for gamers, because you've abandoned the most recent Mario game.
I know what happens to the princess.
She's safe.
She'll be all right.
She'll be okay.
She's not going anywhere.
Well, Jackson, you finishing games is, again, far more infuriating because...
What do I do wrong this time?
You get to the final boss, and if you decided you've had enough of the game, you just claim you've beaten it, even if you haven't fought the boss.
Hell yeah.
When's that happened?
It's happened so many times.
Name one.
You'll be like, basically, I beat it. It'll be like, what do you mean? You're like, I got to the final boss and I got bored. Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, that's true. I don't even think I got to the final boss. I got to the like back 4th quarter of that game or whatever.
Finished.
And I was
it,
like,
basically.
I hate this game. That's stop fair. Playing.
I've done that with about 80% of the JRPGs I've played. Like, if I get to the final boss and I found out that I needed to have grinded like 5 extra levels to be able to beat it, I beat that game. I've seen the end.
To be fair, actually, where I do that all the time is Pokemon games. You do have me there.
Yeah.
I get to the Elite Four, it's too hard. I'm like, I don't care. and then I'm out.
That's okay. The most recent Pokemon game I stopped playing the moment that I got to the Elite Four as well. They're like, you've unlocked the Elite Four. I was like, cool.
Nah.
Anyway, see you later.
Was that Scarlet and Violet?
Yeah.
I haven't even touched that one yet.
Yeah.
I really liked it, but I liked it because it was bad, which is confusing.
Oh, yeah.
It sucked me in, but it's janky, and I think the jankiness I found appealing for some reason.
No, I get that. There's a charm to the jank.
Yeah.
I think I got like halfway through that game and was like, maybe I don't like Pokemon games, really.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think once I found out all the different guys in the Pokedex, I was like, that's all I'm really in it for.
Yeah. You see all the new guys. I had a problem where I was like looking at the footage and screenshots of the games, and the way that the Pokemon are rendered, like, I couldn't even work out what they looked like. Like, yeah. It's a weird resolution where it's in between a high and a low yeah. res, and it, like, my eyes kind of get scrambled when I'm staring at it.
What the hell are these yeah. things? Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, 4 thumbs for Mario.
Nice.
It's good stuff. I'm having fun. I'm excited for Super Mario Brothers Wonder. I already was, but now I'm extra excited.
Hell yeah.
So Jackson, what have you been playing?
I think I've reviewed this in the past, but I don't think I really played enough of it to get a sense of the game. Dark Souls 3. You know me, I like Souls games, and I finished...
And maybe only Souls
games. And only Souls games. We talked about this last episode, where Bloodborne games are too quick for my rotten little brain, and I can't do it. And Dark Souls 3, it was made after Bloodborne, I think, right? Or just before it? I don't know.
I think so, yeah. I think it was the immediate follower.
Yeah, and you could just see Bloodborne's influence all over it, and it annoys the hell out of me. This game is too fast... I played Dark Souls 1, loved it, played Dark Souls 2, loved it even more,
yep.
And I was like, hey, it's time for me to get into Dark Souls 3. I'd started it a while ago, but then Elden Ring came out, and I was like, well, I'm going to jump to that, so I started it again. I'm playing it with only whips at the moment.
At the moment or forever?
Or forever, yeah. Because I was like, that would be funny, and then when I went on the Dark Souls subreddit and searched for people asking, is it viable? Everyone saying no. I was like, that's for me, baby. I think I named my character Whippy Cream, and it's been heaven ever since.
Speaking of Dark Souls names, I forgot to mention this in my Dark Souls review last month, but I named my guy Johnny Dark Soul.
That's very good. I think my first guy didn't have a name. My second guy's name was Harry Styles, and then now I'm Whippy Cream. So I'm up to... I don't know how far in I am, really. I'm like a decent way in, like maybe a third. I've beaten every boss that I've come across so far. Let me just say, the whip is annoying for multiple reasons. First of all, you do not get parries or backstabs with the whip. Second of all, the hitbox is really confusing, where the tip of the whip clearly has a hitbox, and a little bit down from the tip has a hitbox, but then there's a great big expanse between where you're holding it and the hitbox that's just nothing. So if you're too close to somebody, sometimes you'll whip and hit them but miss them completely, which is very annoying.
I do love how your main complaint about the game is the thing that you purposefully decided to choose. Yes, I need someone who's listening now to make a version of the meme of the guy putting the stick in the spokes of the bike, but instead of a stick, it's a whip. Just
that is exactly what I'm doing. And I have to, because I definitely don't like Dark Souls 3 as much as any of the other Dark Souls that I've played, but I have in my mind that possibly, maybe, my choice of weapon is impacting that somewhat. I think, though, I've found... So for me, whenever I'm playing a Souls game, what I really like about it, what I'm really playing it for is the bosses. I remember once, which I know a lot of people are, but I remember once Adam saying, friend of the show Adam, that when I'm really playing a Souls game by trying to rush through the level... So that I can get to the boss, because that's where I get like the most of my enjoyment.
Yeah, you like throwing yourself at the boss.
Oh boy, do I.
Like a ball against a wall.
Yeah, because it's so sweet when it finally works. and I think Dark Souls 3 has had so far just like the most disappointing bosses of any of the Souls games I've played.
Interesting.
I found them really kind of gimmicky in a way that is kind of not very appealing. So one of the bosses I fought is called the Great Rotted Tree or the tree rotted greatwood or something, and this boss is a gigantic tree man that you have to attack the pustules of, and that's what will do damage to him. You can attack him in other places, but he's just made of wood, so it does no damage, so you have to circle around him and find the pustules or whatever. Let me just say, with a whip, that's really not what it's like. Wow, that was hard. Another boss that I fought is like this big skeleton king, and you have to destroy his gauntlets in his hands. So like there's not it's just like, I don't know, it's very gimmicky. It's not like, here's the boss.
Are you describing weak points as gimmicky?
Yeah, but no other Dark Souls boss has weak points. That's just not a thing that's very typical across these bosses. I mean,
it might sound like a Mario boss.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah. Hit it or three a Zelda times boss. In this. Yeah, true.
Which is just not what I play these games for. And I find that the camera angles as well make that even harder. Like, God, I hate it, and I don't think this is a like an unpopular or like a new opinion, but the what his name was, like Dark King Wolfnir or something. And he's like, you're in this like tight little cave, and he's just the front half of a skeleton crawling up toward you. And just like the camera angles and rolling around him, just like one of the worst bosses I've ever fought. So frustrating, so annoying. A lot of people complain about Dark Souls 2. They say all the bosses are just guys, but I love that. That's awesome to me.
I've never played through Dark Souls 2, but that's the one that appeals to me the most because I just want to go up against some knights, some big knights in some armor.
Yeah.
My favorite fights in Bloodborne and Elden Ring are ones where you're just fighting someone that has a similar moveset to you, where you're like bouncing around each other in this dance, like fighting the big beasts. That's not interesting to me. I don't like that stuff.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. I love in Dark Souls 2 where it's just like the I forget what his name, the Fume Knight, maybe? It was one of my favorite fights in Dark Souls 2, and that's just a huge knight with a really big sword. And,
yeah, perfect.
You should try it Final Fantasy VII if you want to be a guy with a big sword fighting a guy with a bigger sword.
No, I want to be a little guy with a whip fighting a guy with a big sword. Another thing about Dark Souls 2, Dark Souls 3, sorry, that I'm finding is that a lot of the bosses that are just guys will have, like, clones of themselves, or like there'll be two of them or three of them, so it turns the fight again from knight v knight to like you're fighting one of them but getting ganked on either side the whole time, which is also not what I really not really here for. There'll be and even bosses that I was like, oh, this one I'm really excited to fight, I'm like reading on their wiki page or whatever, and it's like, and it'll summon a clone. It's a sort of second phase. Every boss as well apparently in Dark Souls 3 has two phases, which is fine, but it kind of loses something when it happens every single time, I think. It's no longer scary. It just means that every fight I'm going into, I'm like, all right, this is going to take a long time. Which is okay, but like,
by
I don't know.
By two phases, do you mean like, is there a brand new health bar? Yes. Or is it just like at a certain...
brand new health bar for pretty much, I think, every boss so far. Definitely... Or at least quite a few of them will have that second phase. The big rotted tree did. There was a point where I was fighting three gank knights, and then sometimes another one would spawn, and he had red eyes, and sometimes he would be my friend and attack the guys for me, but then sometimes he would attack me, and I never knew why.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that one definitely had a second phase. Yeah, I think most of them do, which again, like, that's fine. That's fun. I guess it keeps it interesting, but I don't know. It's not surprising anymore. You don't get that moment of like, oh, goddamn, shit, I got to keep doing it. It's more like, I just fought this guy.
Do you think that some of your complaints about Dark Souls 3 is potentially a Souls plague? You've played so many Souls games in a row now that... Because to me, the boss fights of Dark Souls 3 being, in your words, gimmicky, and the fact that there's two phases... was meant to, like, shake things up for people that played 1 and 2. But now because you've played them out of order and all of them...
I've played them in order. I went 1, 2, and now I'm on 3.
Didn't you go 1, Elden Ring... Actually, yeah, you played 1, 2, and 3 in order. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Just put the other Souls games in the middle.
And Elden Ring... Does Elden Ring... I don't know, Sleepy, you've maybe played it the most recent... I don't know. Does it have many two-phase boss fights?
No, that's what I was, where I wanted the clarification, because there are heaps of fights where, like, at a certain point, you know, a new mode happens. The guy goes into a dragon mode or something, and the fight changes, but you know when that's going to happen because it hits a certain point in the health bar. But I can't think of a single fight in Elden Ring where you kill someone and then a new health bar appears and you have to kill them.
The only one I can think, does Malenia do that? Does she get a new health bar?
Is that the final boss? Because that's the only one. I didn't get to that.
No, it's the really hard one that does the waterfowl dance, which is where I quit because it got too hard for me.
It's an optional boss that Jackson opted. He was like, I refuse to play the final boss until I kill this optional boss.
Yeah.
And then couldn't kill the optional boss, so abandoned the game.
The one who says, I've never known defeat or whatever? I think I've seen the memes.
Oh, she sucks. Yeah. I don't get that completionist like stuff with Mario, but with Souls games, I absolutely do.
Yeah.
In Dark Souls 1, there was one boss I missed, which was a clone of another boss that I didn't realize was in the game. And then in another Dark Souls 2, there was one boss I missed as well. But I try to get as many as I can.
So that sounds like you could go back to Elden Ring and miss one boss as well.
Not this one. Because the boss I missed in Dark Souls is just like, it's like a, not really a boss, like a mini boss really. And the one I missed in Dark Souls 2 is this dragon that you get, it's like part of a quest that you can attack. But you don't have to, and then it'll be a boss.
Mm.
So
I think the thing with Elden Ring, that because I don't like open world games typically, apart from some pretty like notable exceptions. And so when I went into Elden Ring, I had just beaten Bloodborne, which I think I spoke about last time I was chatting with you guys.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wouldn't be able to do the same thing I did with Bloodborne, which is take on every optional path and every optional boss, because that's a more linear experience. Like, you're exploring these open areas, but you've got only really one or two ways to go at any given junction. Whereas Elden Ring is this big, expansive thing. And I was like, I cannot dedicate myself to seeing every part of this game.
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to take a path through. I'll go back occasionally and see what's changed or whatever. But like, I just kind of did my thing until I got to a point where I was like, I've seen this game. I've had a good time with this game.
Yeah, for sure.
Rather than like being satisfied with finishing a game, saying I've seen this game.
That's good. I've seen this game.
Yeah, I've seen this game.
I've seen it.
Sometimes I've seen a game within half an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm like, absolutely. I've seen this game. I like it. I'm done.
I'm out of here. I'm dipping. I do still enjoy, like, I am enjoying Dark Souls 3. It is a Dark Souls game, so I am getting that satisfaction, like, from beating the bosses, even though some of them I wish maybe were a little more exciting.
Yeah.
And maybe it's going to get more appealing to me the more I play it. Even though playing with whips is really hard, I actually do love it a lot. I like that I have to think completely differently to every other time I've played a Souls game. I haven't just picked the heaviest weapon or whatever, or the one that's doing the most damage.
The big bomber.
Yeah, exactly. I've been like, no big bomber, little whips. Let's see how that treats me. Means I've got to be so much quicker on my feet, and I'm loving the challenge. It is funny whenever anybody's like, is this your first playthrough? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, why would you ruin your first playthrough of this game? But it's funny to me.
Yeah, because Jackson, I've watched you play a little bit of Dark Souls 3 at twitch.tv/JacksonBailey.
That is where I play game.
And everything you just said about having to think differently and play the game different, from what I saw on Twitch, probably not a fair statement.
I ain't doing it.
You often died a lot because at one point you put on one helmet that just made you take more damage.
That helmet's awesome. It's the mimic helmet.
No. Like, wasn't even talking about that one.
No, that was just a crown that made me hurt more. Yeah.
Right. Does it have any upside or is it just...
No, just hurts.
A hard mode hat.
Yeah, then Jackson found a mimic hat, which puts literally...
It's like a big chest with teeth and a tongue, and it literally drains your health as you wear it. But it's so cool looking.
This game sounds great.
I'm sad that I couldn't wear that hat because in Dark Souls 1, I had the maggot head because I got a parasite that halved my souls the whole time I played. And I loved having that maggot head. It was funny. It meant I couldn't wear a helmet. It was good. To find out there was no maggot head equivalent in 3 and, 2 and 3, so disappointing.
Have you looked up to see if there is a feasible way to wear the mimic helmet?
Yeah, so the ways I can do it is I will have to completely change the way I'm specking myself so that I can cast a great healing spell at all times. or I can get a bunch of like rings and armor that up my health slightly, but it will never match how much it's draining. Just slow it down. So I could do it and constantly wear the hat, but it's probably not going to happen. The hat will just have to be a treat. If I've done
How's
well,
the rest of the fashion in Dark Souls 3? Like, is it comparable to prior games?
It's nowhere near as good as Dark Souls 2. Dark Souls 2 was crazy for the fashion. You could get so many different outfits, and every outfit that I never really care about what the stats of the outfits are. It's just like if I find a new one, I'm like, put it on. How do
put
I look?
It on.
But Dark Souls 3 so far hasn't quite compared to Dark Souls 2, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. What am I currently wearing? Either the hat that kills you or the hat that makes you weak.
Yep.
A kind of armor that just is kind of nasty looking. I don't know. It's covered in spikes or something. Regular boots.
Yeah, fair enough.
And some big gloves. But in Dark Souls 2, you got like a dress that made it look like you were wearing little white shorts and a bunch of good stuff.
So
you could
sick.
Get a butterfly outfit in Dark Souls 2 as well.
You know what? I'm going to put Dark Souls 2 in my cart right now. I've been wanting to... That's like the one FromSoft game I think I'm really going to...
It's so good.
...get to the next level with,
I've not finished Dark Souls 3 yet, so I can't really comment on my ranking, but currently, Dark Souls 2 is my favorite FromSoft game I ever played. The Majula theme is so good, and every boss fight is weird and fun and... Yeah, I don't know. I love
the fact that in Dark Souls 2, and something you mentioned in your review whenever you spoke about it, which was probably once every 4 weeks, is the fact that because they kind of rushed it, the overworld doesn't make sense. Yeah. But that just feels like you're playing a nightmare, which kind of makes it better.
It's so good. And what's really funny is, so in the lore of Dark Souls 3, this is meant to be way toward the end of the timeline of the world, and everything's exploding and going crazy mode.
Yeah.
And as part of that, different time periods are like stitched together, and it's meant to be the world collapsing in on itself. So it's meant to feel like a nightmare realm or whatever, but it doesn't feel anything like that compared to Dark Souls 2, where you take an elevator down into a cave, open a door, and you're looking at like hills and windmills, and you're like, what the hell?
But that's reminds me of like some of my favorite moments of Bloodborne again, not to keep bringing up Bloodborne, but like the moment after you come out of the clock tower and you open up and into that huge kind of swampy area towards the end of the DLC, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys played all through that. But yeah, the surreality of that series is what always appeals to me. I want to see a mishmash of things in a nightmare landscape. Like, that's the good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Dark Souls 2 is so like, all the DLCs of that are crazy too, where you're like, you teleport from like a statue and all of a sudden you're looking at this gigantic floating kiln and you're like, what the hell? Where am I? What is happening? Great
so
game.
Sick.
Dark Souls 3, I'm going to say currently 3 thumbs and a knuck.
Fair enough.
That's where I'm sitting for Dark Souls 3. We'll see how I feel when I finish it.
Yeah, if you finish it.
Yeah.
Maybe you've seen the game.
Well, every review I looked at was like, you could kind of do the whip for the first half. So we'll see.
And Sleepy, what have you been playing?
Dave the Diver is what I have been playing.
I think I saw you talk about this on Twitter recently.
Yeah, I've been tweeting a little bit about it. I'm about 10 or so hours into the game now. It is the first game from a developer called Mint Rocket, who I think are a Korean company. Mm-hmm. And it's a diving game.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do you play as a guy called Dave?
You do play as a guy called Dave. The reason I hesitate is because it's like, I thought I was getting one thing, and I have gotten 100 different things from this game.
What?
So, ostensibly, the concept is you are a diver who goes into this bay, into the water, and you harpoon fish, and you bring them to the surface, and then you sell them at a sushi restaurant that you are also working for. So, there are two kind of main facets of the game, one where you are catching the fish, the other you are managing a restaurant, putting dishes on the menu, upgrading them, hiring staff, and then serving them to customers in sort of a, it's that classic like restaurant game mode where people come in and they say the thing they want, you've got a period of time to come and bring it.
Like Overcooked.
There's a lot of...
Well, Daddy's Pizzeria or whatever it's called.
Or Food Simulator.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking of like the mini game in the last Kirby game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
It's just, it's very quick. Like, it's not, you're not preparing the food itself.
You're just picking up the right dish.
Yeah.
You're picking up the right dish and bringing it to them in a period of time before they get mad.
Yeah.
But this game, the series that I want to compare this game most to is the Yakuza series.
Whoa!
Because
it's got basically the entire game is like a series of very mundane activities expressed through like incredibly over the top action.
That's awesome.
Wonderfully animated cutscenes and really like dynamic characters with backstories that kind of get revealed as you play through. Every new mechanic, basically every half an hour that I've been playing this game, a whole new mechanic is added in, has like a different mini game attached to it that it suddenly throws you into kind of like a WarioWare style where you have to like press a button really quickly or like do a very precise action for a period of time. And
it's ticking a lot of boxes.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. It also reminds me heaps of a lot of games by the developer Onion Games, who made... like their biggest game was Moon RPG, which got a re-release recently. They've also made a lot of mobile games like Dandy Dungeon.
Oh, okay.
There's going to be people out there who maybe have heard of them.
Yeah, I know Dandy Dungeon, but I don't know the first game you just said.
Moon RPG. Yeah, Moon RPG is one of the big influences on Undertale. It's sort of an anti-RPG where you're... you should play Moon RPG. You're a kid who gets sucked into a video game fantasy world, and you have to wander through the world in the wake of a hero who has just been killing every monster and creature as he wanders through, and you have to, like, fix all of the things that he's destroyed and kind of, like, make the world nice again.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Cool.
So, yeah, those are kind of the main touchstones, I guess, like WarioWare, the ridiculousness of Yakuza, and then a lot of kind of mobile game stuff like Dandy Dungeon and Ridiculous Fishing is in here. It's a lot of game.
Is the way it works, it introduces a new mechanic and then gameplay going forward will, like, utilize that mechanic again? Or is it, like, kind of just one-off little mini-games when you're in a specific portion of the game, if you know what I mean?
It's kind of a mix of both. So the two most recent additions to my gameplay experience, again, like 10 hours in, is there's an underwater civilization that you come across of these sort of merfolk. And when you get to their town, the first thing you have to do is, like, get them on side because they all hate humans. And it becomes this, like, this JRPG, like, village of mini quests that you have to go and kind of appease all of the people there, collect things from the bigger ocean world, and or, like, you know, compete in a seahorse race and win, and, like, that's a separate mini game. And then the other thing that's been added is, like, a farm where you're growing
rice
and other crops and sending that back to the restaurant. So there's, like, a lot of things to juggle, but it's pretty good at. It rolls them out at a pace that lets you kind of understand it. And then the next time you need to use it, it kind of prompts you. It's like, oh, remember to go check the farm. Good. The rice should be ready. And then,
so,
like,
it's
you
never, like,
the
overwhelming the amount of mini games that happen.
It has occasionally been overwhelming, but it's all good. But I went into this game thinking it was just, like, a roguelike fishing game and was really excited to just swim around in a kind of ever-changing ocean area and catch new different fish. It turns out it's not that.
Well, I've looked up Dave the Diver just to get a look at it, and I just want to say that Dave has the nicest face, the most calming face I've ever seen on a video
He's
game.
He's got a great face.
Dave is a good guy.
As a sort of a larger framed gentleman, it's very nice to see a robust male lead in a video game. Like, he's a bigger fella, but he's very athletic. He's very, you know, he's a diver. He's doing it. It's nice.
Yeah,
that
It's sold a million copies in 10 days, and now they're talking about porting it to the Switch at the end of the year.
Yeah,
it's a huge success, which is why I thought it might have come up already. But it's, yeah. A lot of people are calling it, like, an indie success. I don't necessarily think it's an indie game. I think it's... the publisher is a pretty big, I can't remember the name, but there's a lot of money behind it. But it is, like, it's indie style. It's definitely trying to evoke that kind of that tone.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds sick. I gotta be playing Dave the Diver.
Well, it's on Steam.
I'm gonna.
You got a computer.
Yeah,
go
brother,
home,
I
log
sure
into
do.
To tell your partner, don't interrupt me. It's Dave time.
I'm gaming.
If you're not already sold on Dave the Diver, two other characters that feature fairly heavily, two other side characters, are a guy who looks like an older, washed-up version of Ash Ketchum, who gives you your, like, Pokedex for the fish, essentially, and constantly is, like, asking you to trade cards.
Yeah.
And then the guy who builds your guns is, like, a Hikikomori-type, like, anime J-pop fan who does, like, a magical girl transformation when he invents new guns.
That's awesome.
And it's, like, a J-pop rhythm game.
What are you shooting with your guns? Fish?
Yeah, so sometimes there are larger fish and sharks and dangerous creatures, and you need to use different weapons because your harpoon gun doesn't quite do the job. But it's cool. Like, it's got a really, it's got a bunch of really compelling game loops. It's out of four thumbs, right?
We're ready. Five thumbs.
I'm going to give it four thumbs.
Nice.
Yeah, that's fair.
Nice.
So usually at this point I'd be like, hey, we got to let a guest in, but before I let that guest in, Jackson, I just want to do a little bit of a preview review, mini review.
Oh my God.
Because I recently got access to the beta testing version of a game I am very excited to play later in the year when it comes out for real.
Yeah.
Gunbrella.
Gunbrella.
This is a game we've probably talked about this because we played a demo version of it at PAX.
Yes.
That was freaking awesome. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's a new game coming out later in 2023. I don't believe there's a release date yet, but it is, it's a Devolver game. And it's so good.
Is this game relevant to you? Steam asked me. Similar get to games you've played, Dave the Diver. So I'm going to add it to my wish list.
So basically you're a detective trying to solve a murder, and the only thing that was found at the murder scene was a gun brawler. Oh. But also, on top of that, it's like a kind of Metroidvania sort of styled game where you are equipped with the Gunbrella now. So you go to towns asking people, hey, do you know what's going on with this?
Yeah.
There's side quests in it as well. So one that I did very early on in this beta version of the game was to get a train pass. I had to speak to the freak of the village who wanted to exchange it for 3 rats.
Oh, that's awesome.
He lived in some crates, maybe? He was very upset the first time I spoke to him, but then when I found out he had a train pass, he was happy to oblige, provided I could get him some rats.
That's so cool.
The aesthetic, and this is a wild comparison because I don't think anyone has played this game in like 6 years.
Okay.
It reminds me a bit of Gunpoint, which was so cool.
Sounds very fake.
Yeah. I think it's called Gunpoint. It was a game I got really addicted to on Steam when I was in uni.
Gunpoint.
Gunpoint?
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen this.
Show me Gunpoint.
Yeah,
Computer,
Gunpoint.
Show me Gunpoint.
Here.
Aesthetically, Gunpoint kind of looks like an elevator action-y sort of thing.
Yeah, so it's more the art style, not the layout, if that makes sense. It looks like that's Gunpoint.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Gunpoint rocks. I should go back and play Gunpoint. Gunbrella, it's the version I'm playing at the moment is about 2 or 3 hours long, and I haven't finished that yet, so I can't do like a proper full-on review. I will do that next week when I finished the demo that I'm allowed to play. But yeah, I'm so excited for this. It's going to be immediately a day one purchase for me on the Nintendo Switch.
I mean, it was one of the best games we played at PAX. And we played Sonic Frontiers.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord.
But definitely it was one of the best plays. It was just like dripping with atmosphere kind of and style. And I really liked that the... Remind me, so you've got the gun that's Umbrella.
Yeah, so
but that's like,
yeah, I was going to say that you said the title was Gunbrella, and then you said you find a Gunbrella, and you didn't need to explain what that meant.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
Yeah,
it's really good.
It's an umbrella that is also a shotgun.
Yeah, but it's like your utility and your weapon, right?
Yes.
Which is very cool. I like that
so
a lot.
So it gives you a double jump with it. So you open the umbrella, and it kind of shoots you in that direction. You can also use it to grind on things.
That's cool.
And it can also be used to parry shots. So if you open the Gunbrella at the right point, bullets go back.
That's mad.
It kind of actually feels a little bit like SteamWorld Dig 2 now that I think about it. Because you're going from town to town, kind of doing like little missions. Or even a little Hollow Knight-y, I guess. Like finding a hub, talking to people, going out of that hub, and it's like a big open world where you can explore everything and... Yeah. It also has like a nasty neo-noir vibe. Mm. It's just good shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Having a good time. And I'll talk about it more next week, I reckon.
Hell yeah.
When I've finished the part I'm allowed to play.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do if I get past that point. I'm scared to find out.
Gunbrella'd. That's what will happen to you. The Volvo will shoot you with a Gunbrella.
Look, I can't reveal too much because I'm not actually sure what I'm allowed to say. Because again, the embargo for this version of the game that I've played ends like 36 hours before this episode comes out.
Oh, yeah.
But in the email they got about it, they were like, please stop playing after this point, which makes me think that the game does keep going.
Yeah, you could continue playing. How would they know?
How would they know?
You just keep playing and it just becomes a black screen as you walk through parts they haven't finished making.
Becomes a black screen and your address pops up in the middle.
We know. Maybe it'll become like ARG. Yeah.
ARG.
What an augmented reality game? Yeah, ARG. ARG, I was right. Like that Nine Inch Nails album.
Yeah, or Halo maybe at one point?
Yeah, maybe.
Didn't Halo have a thing where you had to call the right phone booth to talk to Master Chief?
Thanks for calling. You found me.
Is that a thing that went down?
Yeah, probably.
Someone will know.
Yeah. But yeah, so far, look, you know what? I won't give it a thumb score yet because it's a preview.
Yeah, wait till next week.
But I think you can probably see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, it's probably going to be not small.
And now we've kept someone waiting at the door, Jackson. I think it's time.
Hey, I'm busted in. I'm worsting when. Like Larry Weinfeld's best friend. It's me, Worcester Wads, the Wario of Mr. Ads. You can just call me Wasmo Waymer.
Wasmo?
Witty up! Anyway, here's some words for you. Enjoy!
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Thank you so much, Worcester Wads.
Thank you, Worcester Wads. Or Wasmo Waymoff.
That is some pretty exciting new character development for Worcester Wads. The Wario version of Mr. Ads.
Yeah, there's a lot of Mr. Ads characters. I would say there's the same Mr. Ads characters as there are, like, you know, Wally, the guy we had to find.
Yeah.
You know, his crew.
Well, yeah, you got Wally, you got Waldo.
Waldo is Wally.
You've got Waldo.
Oddlaw. You've got Wizard Whitebeard.
Wizard Whitebeard, Wags the dog, and Wendy.
Is it Wags the dog?
Yeah. I thought it was Woof.
It's Woof the dog. Wags the dog belongs to the Wiggles.
Yeah. And they'll come and get you if you say otherwise.
Yeah.
Well, that was some good wads. So
great wads.
Hopefully we can keep that train rolling with some great Wemails.
Yeah, these Wario emails.
So you can email the show at thumbcrampspot@gmail.com, just like these people have.
Yeah, good on.
Let's start off with Nick.
What's up, Nick?
And Nick had a, I would say, pretty funny interaction at a video game store where the person that was working there went above and beyond and maybe stepped out of line, but they ended up on the right side of history, which is quite the surprise.
All right.
Hey, Thumbos. During the pandemic, I took a shot and went to a game store and asked if they had a PS5. It turns out they had had a shipment literally that day, so in a spur-of-the-moment decision, I decided to treat myself. When the cashier asked if I wanted a game to go with it, I thought, I've played Dark Souls 1. I'll go Elden Ring. Upon saying it, the cashier warned, I warn you, this game may not be for you. It's a hard game. So I had to tell the cashier that I thought out my purchase and it was the game for me. If you think buying a game is embarrassing, imagine having to convince the person to let you buy the game. And the worst part is, Thumb Cramps, I hated it. The cashier was right. The game wasn't for me.
Oh, no.
Read you like a book.
I do love this cashier that was like, pretty good squad. Thoust might find this game too difficult.
Alternatively, I imagine they were a bully and they're like, hey, can I grab Elden Ring? Try again, idiot.
Dude, you want baby pants. You sure you don't want a Nintendo Switch for babies? Nintendo Switch Lite, I mean?
Yeah. We got the pacifiers over there if you want someone to suck while you play at a game you'll suck at. Get out of my store.
I had a game store experience a couple months ago. I was inquiring about the trade-ins for Tears of the Kingdom, which I've also been playing. I feel like that's probably been spoken about enough.
Yeah.
I didn't need to bring it up. Great game. And I was telling the guy at the video game store what physical Switch games I had and yeah. whether I could trade them in. And one of them I have is the 3D Mario collection,
yep.
which I didn't realize was like a limited
yeah.
sale thing.
Yeah.
They were only selling that for a period of time and only made a certain number of copies. And he was like, excuse me, you do not want to trade that game in. That is going to be worth a lot of money. And I was like, oh my God.
It's also funny because everyone thought that was going to be the case, and it's only just now that the prices of that game are like going up just
yeah
like
yeah it's- I'm not gonna sell that, like I'm not a game trader like that, like,
yeah
I'm not in it for the cash.
Yeah, because that Mario collection, it was only available for like 6 months, but also like every store had 500,000 yeah. copies mm-hmm. of it. So you could buy it outside of that 6 months because there was stock that didn't move.
Yeah, of course.
But I will say that I have seen it go up in price like $10, $15 now.
Okay.
The rarity is starting to happen, I guess, because some people are eating the I don't know. I don't know how they're going to...
Throwing them in the sea or yeah, whatever, like, yeah.
This is
$10 or $15, that'll get you a Subway footlong.
Oh, damn.
I had Subway for lunch yesterday. It was a good call.
Subway's freaking awesome,
yeah, dude.
Subway's really good. Didn't we have Subway the day before?
Sure did. That's what put me in the mood for Subway yesterday.
That's awesome. Right,
we should save the Subway chats for Tum Cramps, the Subway podcast.
Five Tums for Subway?
Don't tempt me, Sleepy.
It's not a food review podcast where we just eat Subway. Also, Nick just sends her email by saying, I spent the weekend at an Age of Empires 2 LAN in Liverpool. That's shout out to LAN Matters.
Awesome. Sick. LAN parties so rule. Sick. I miss the vibes of a LAN party. Yeah, I miss it's like 2 a.m. You've stopped talking to your friends. Everybody smells like farts. All that's happening is your click, 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 click. One of you goes to the toilet, comes back, click, 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 click. 4 a.m. go to bed. I miss that vibe,
perfect.
Dude.
Yeah.
The perfect night.
And this next email covers something we don't really talk about much on this show.
Oh, yeah.
The subject is sports game.
Whoa.
Wow.
Dear internet boyfriends, a dumb American, I play a lot of sports games such as NBA 2K and Madden. Your discussion of the AFL game a couple of weeks ago made me think, do American sports games become popular down under? Last time I was in Australia, I recall seeing a 2K game with an alternative cover with an Australian basketball player. So it must be somewhat popular, but what is the impact these sports games have had on your personality? Thank you, Ethan. Not a coward.
Wow.
Sports games here are, like, the typical ones are popular, Ethan. NBA 2K and FIFA
yeah.
go off. Madden does not, but I think it's also because they haven't made a good Madden game in about 5 years and everyone hates them now.
Yeah.
NHL games used to pop up every now and then, but I feel like they don't really make it to Australia anymore.
No.
I have dabbled.
Yeah.
I think it's funny if I became a FIFA guy, but I simply am not talented enough.
I quite enjoy any time I play a sports game. Like, if other people playing a sports game, it hasn't happened that much in my
life. Actually, I've played a bunch of NBA 2K. I suck at it, but I really like it. What am I talking about?
They're fun, but
I have it on PS5 and Switch.
You got the Switch one? Yeah.
I don't know. Huh.
But I don't think I can ever, like, bring myself to buy one because I don't think I would get enough, like, out of it long term, kind of.
They need to kind of go back 15 years where the story mode was ridiculous and let you make your own character, and then I reckon you would start looking at buying sports.
You
got to
imagine
games.
I got to play, you know, NBA or whatever, like I play Dark Souls, where I'm like,
yeah.
let's make the worst team to ever enter the sort of the league or whatever.
Yeah.
Put the maggot hat on.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm only getting half my points.
Every shot's only worth 1 point.
Why aren't they giving us sympathy? We're all so infected.
I think personally, what I want is more like arcadey style sports game, because I love an NBA Jam.
Oh,
love,
NBA Jam, so good,
big time.
Yeah, and I love I love the Mario sports games, but I don't love them because they're Mario sports games. I love them because they're like they're more simplistic expressions of sports. So I don't have to be like constantly worrying about my stats or
absolutely.
What team I'm on. I can just play tennis or basketball or soccer. And like, I love doing those things. But
People really hated the new Smash Football because they thought it was bare bones. But I really liked it.
Me
but
too.
I think it's because I was just like, I'm just here to score some goals.
Yeah, and yeah. It's a little bit fun that sometimes Luigi, you know, goes...
Has a gun.
He shoots the ball into the goal, yeah.
Same with the tennis game, because that ultimately just turns it into, like, a fighting game where you're just... It's just a 1v1, you know, you're playing footsies and you're doing specials against each other. That's cool.
I agree. I also really liked one of the Rayman games had a soccer minigame you could play.
Ooh.
It was awesome. Where you were playing as... What the hell are they called? Teensies?
The Rabbids?
No, before the Rabbids.
They were
little guys. I don't know. Anyway, I enjoyed that
game. The flying little imp guys with the big mouths or whatever.
Yeah.
The
Lums? Who can say?
Lums are guys?
No, Lums are like fairies. No, because fairies are guys.
Rayman, if you're out there, write in.
Yeah, Rayman, let us know. Hey, did Rayman talk or did he just go like... Hi-yo!
I think he says some stuff. He's got like a sort of a... I think he's got like an attitude a little bit. Like,
oh, really?
He's got... Hey! Wow!
What's up, Globox?
Wow.
Smell you later, dirtbag! Asswipe! Son of a bitch! Globox, you dumb piece of shit! It's more than a tude, really.
Yeah. Well, speaking of tudes, I mean, it's huge because Gex is coming back.
Gex is back! Oh my god, Gex is back.
Attitude is back on the menu for gamers, boys.
Yeah.
And it's a full remaster, too.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's so
crazy. Three games. Gex.
Those are...
Gex. Back in the Gecko. No.
Into the Gecko.
Deep cover Gecko.
Deep cover... Have you played any... What Gex games have we played?
I've just played Enter the Gecko.
I played whatever... Is that the second one?
That's the second one, but it was the first one on Nintendo 64.
I played it on PlayStation, whatever that
could have been. It was three on PlayStation.
One had a mansion in it.
I didn't realize we had a Gexpert on the pod.
That's cool, because Gexpert could also be short for Gamer Expert.
That's
true.
Very true, yeah.
That if listeners didn't check out the limited run announcements from the other day, there's a ton of really good stuff getting re-released.
Stuff.
It was an insane batch. Like, El Shaddai is the one I'm really excited for. Tombi, yeah.
Crazy.
There's a lot going on. Video games from the old are back now.
They're back, baby, in today.
And yeah, if you want to send us an email, you can hit us up at thumbcrampspod, or you can write a review.
I would recommend you do that.
If you're listening to the podcast right now and you have not submitted a review, don't hit pause, just keep listening, but also head to the podcast, your podcatcher of choice, a word I hate saying.
Yeah, whatever you're listening to this on, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Spotify doesn't let you write reviews, but hit 5 stars anyway, because we've earned it.
We've been good. You like this, don't you? What, do you hate it?
Yeah.
Is this bad?
No, it's good.
So go 5 stars. Christ's sake.
So this is from FTN Chicken.
Okay, good
5 stars, safe for schools.
It is safe for schools, Thumbcramps. That's true.
I am not, and this is what the review says, I am not a coward. My name is Shabab, and I'm still young and still a virgin.
Hell yes, Shabab!
Very good.
So,
that's brave. That's
to,
brave
to make
beautiful.
This review...
Wait, that's the whole review?
Yeah, that's the whole review. So, to put that in a bit of context, apparently buying video games from the store is very embarrassing unless you're young... Or you're a virgin. We couldn't quite figure out which one changed.
That was from
it.
An email somebody sent us, and they said, I'm not embarrassed, and I'm young and a virgin. And we said, that's so
that's
awesome.
That's powerful.
That's the coolest thing.
It was like, it was pretty much like, I'm young and I'm a virgin, and I don't give a shit, because video games are still good to me.
God, that's so cool. That's awesome.
And then this next one, and this is... truly evidence that you can say whatever you want.
Okay.
5 stars, and this is from Paulie Paul 7.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And they have written shopping list. Bananas, choc chip cookies, chicken breasts, spaghetti, carrots times 2, tinned tomatoes, ice cream, Doritos, laundry detergent, bacon, eggs, bread, something for Nan's birthday.
Are they making a spaghetti, do you reckon?
Yeah, I hope they get Nan a good present.
I hope Nan... Give Nan the spaghetti. Grandmas love spaghetti.
Do they?
Yeah.
Famously.
I think so.
Well, they got bacon and eggs.
Okay.
So,
bananas.
And
bread. Bananas are good for breakfast.
Bacon, egg, bread. So, yeah, that's breakfast. Yeah. Ice cream, that's dessert. Carrots
or
times 2.
Or breakfast, who's
to say?
That's
true. Hey, I'm no food judge.
I ain't here to judge.
This isn't Tom Cramps.
This is not Tom Cramps.
Carrots time too. You put carrots in a bolognese. That's really nice.
Mm-hmm. But they got chicken breast. So are they making a creamy chicken pasta?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know where you've got bolognese from. There is nothing on here that's... Oh, the tin tomatoes.
Tin tomatoes and spaghetti. Yeah. You said they got spaghetti,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's spaghetti.
Okay, so that's what I was thinking. Yeah,
they could be making a shakshuka with the tin tomatoes and the eggs.
Oh! Maybe we do need to start Tom Graham.
I'm really liking this.
So yeah, write a review wherever you're listening to this. 5 stars. We've earned it.
We've been good. 5 stars.
And if you want to email the show, hit us up at thumbcrampspot@gmail.com. And Sleepy Nice, where can we find you?
Yeah.
That would be at Sleepy_Nice on Twitter. And I've got a new EP coming out under my moniker Law Spinner.
Oh, hell yeah.
Fan of music that sounds like it's from a silly fantasy world. It's sort of ambient video game inspired music. And that'll be coming out probably in the next few weeks.
Hell yeah.
Haven't announced it yet, but it's ready to go. And it'll have all of my EPs come with like a TTRPG scenario that where you can like, if you've got a D&D group or other kind of tabletop games, you can play through the scenario while you listen to the music and
hell yeah, and this
get
is
a full experience.
This is the third Law Spinner EP, right?
This is the third of a trilogy, and they'll all be packaged together on a physical cassette tape at some point in the next six months. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
I recently looked at my bookshelf that has cassettes on it and was like, I need to stop buying cassettes because there's now a pile next to that shelf.
don't stop buying them until this one comes out.
Yeah, at least one more need to get.
At least one more.
I'll make room. I'll throw something out.
Yeah, yeah.
I got some cassettes.
You get some stinkers in there, surely.
There's been plenty of bands I've seen where I'll be like in the last 15 years where I'll be like, yeah, I'll buy a demo cassette, listen to it and be like,
yuck.
Yeah, okay. Maybe they never recorded any of their good songs yet. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Sleepy Nice.
My pleasure. Always fun.
Thank you. And listeners, until next time, keep on gaming, and for God's sakes, give us 5 stars.
For God's sakes. I can't impress upon you how necessary it is that you give us 5 stars.
Mario doesn't come down to podcasts if they're less than 5 stars.
Hey, every time we finish recording, he says, how many stars have you got? And we say, we're getting 5 stars, but people aren't doing it. And he's like, I cut your throat. You understand?
Mario, don't kill us. That'll be bad for the Nintendo brand.
Well, you better hope your fans are giving you 5 stars or...
So listeners, you know what to do. And until next week, happy July, Rio. We love Mario.
We do.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time.
The world's best converting checkout.
Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.